The word of God given us today is Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Allow me to read. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Amen. In the mid-March, World Vision sent an email to Pastor Li Jieter to ask him to be part of their special project with CBS TV for CBS 10th anniversary. They want him to go to Rwanda, Africa, in person and experience life of children suffering from starvation and diseases to urge Korean churches and believers to do something for them through a CBS program titled Guardian Angel. Our 100th anniversary memorial church was founded for outside of church. So we have exerted our efforts to take good care of Yanghwajin for a missionary cemetery and the memorial hall of Korean Christian martyrs. Our duty is to balance our service for our church members, this world, and the church. In detail, serving church members is done among church workers, pastors, and members. Serving this world is done by national and international outreach teams, volunteers for community service. Yanghwajin music concerts and Yanghwajin Thursday lecture series. Pastor Lee decided to comply their request, thinking that he can serve Korean churches through World Vision and CBS. Rwanda is a little country located in Central Africa. Its size is 1/4 of Korea, and its population is about 10 million. The average lifespan of its people is around 40, and 40% of them are illiterate. Rwanda was liberated from Belgium in 1962, but the civil war between Hutu and Tutsi tribe has devastated the country for decades. Particularly from 94 to 96, around 800,000 people died, and 2 million of people became refugees during Rwanda crisis. Now children under age 15 account for half of Rwanda population, and there is no one whose family members were not suffered from war. So they are severely damaged and wounded hearts desperately need to be recovered and healed. Pastor Lee will leave tonight at 12:50 a.m. and will come back coming Thursday at 4:50 p.m. He leaves Incheon Airport and arrives at Kigali, the capital city of Rwanda, via Doha, Qatar, and Entebbe, Uganda. He even has to move by car for many hours in Rwanda, so our church committee decided to ask him to take a rest to get ready for this energy-consuming trip. For this reason, I will take over his job this Sunday and next Sunday. Please Please pray for him to successfully fulfill this work for Rwanda and Korean churches as well and come back home healthy and safe. There are all sayings about knowledge. A couple of good examples are knowing is power and not knowing is medicine. One common thing about these two sayings is that they are all positive. The more you know about the good and the right, the more your life is benefited. And the more you don't know about the bad and the unright, the more your life will be lived smoothly. However, what about things in the middle of knowing and not knowing? A novice shaman can harm an innocent man. It means that if you know something halfway, you may aggravate the situation apart from finding solutions. When I was young, I often saw grown-ups hitting TV whenever it doesn't work well. Interestingly, it worked sometimes. Then grown-ups usually said hitting always works with TV and children. But the real problem of TV was the connection jam. So you don't have to hit the TV. There must have been many people who had to buy new ones because they broke their TVs by hitting. If you broke your TV by hitting, how can you boast about it? Maybe once in a million, TV works by hitting, and the hitters talk about it a lot, and a false knowledge TV works well when you hit it has been constructed. When I was a graduate student of seminary, I lived in a dorm for the whole 3 years. There was a guy whose hearing impaired living on the same floor. He had to pay much attention to others, not to miss what they say. He was often unable to hear him calling his name right next to him, like those who plugged an earphone in their ears are unable to sense how loud his or her voice is. He always talked very loudly. One day of the first semester, I even told him, "You can talk quietly since I can hear you." I remember that he told me his life story. He said he could study totally because of God's grace. When he was young, he suffered from meningitis. His parents prayed to God, saying, "If you let him be cured, his life will be given to you, God." Thanks to their sincere prayer, he was completely recovered and could finish college and become a graduate student. When I heard his story, I realized how miraculous God's providence was. I had a church friend who also had the disease and became a deaf. He even had a hard time following courses at special school for deaf people. But my seminary friend became a graduate student. How wonderful it was. He always wore his hair long. His hair had always covered his ears. He slightly cut his hair and let a little bit of his lower ears be revealed. So sometimes he didn't look neat and tidy. It was when we were seniors at graduate school. He was working as an evangelist in charge of a middle school youth group at a church. At that time, I thought I knew about him more than any others, since we had lived on the same floor of the dorm more than 2 years, and he visited my room from time to time. One day, I suggested him that he cut his hair shorter to look tidy and give better impression to his church kids. He dismissed my suggestion, saying that it was his style. It was a bit offended and advised him again, but it gave me the same answer. A couple of days later, my roommate told me the reason why he didn't want to cut his hair more. According to my roommate, he had wore a device to aid his hearing ability impaired by meningitis. Without the device, he was not able to hear anything. At the moment, I was really ashamed of myself and felt real sorry for him. I advised him only from my viewpoint. If I were him, I would have done the same thing. I apologized to him for my ignorance. He said that he had to intensively focus on others at church and school to hear what they say. So he sometimes couldn't hear others, and they misunderstood him often at the dormitory, since he relaxed there. It was totally wrong that I knew him a lot. My misunderstanding became a knowledge, and this halfway knowledge made me an abuser. Halfway knowledge, distorted knowledge, and biased knowledge are scary enough. The more you know about someone, the better you accept him or her. Today's scripture testifies about three things Paul really wants to know. Verse 10 says as follows, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." What Paul wanted to first know about is Christ. Before becoming Paul, he wanted to know more about was laws, not Christ. Pharisees even believed that God made Pentateuch from Genesis to Deuteronomy first, and created his world according to him, them. Paul's knowledge about laws was incomparable with others in his generation and impeccable. Paul couldn't bear to refer to the name of the Christ and those who call the Christ a poor carpenter from nowhere like Galilee, Messiah. He thought that it was a blasphemy. So he thought that they deserved to be stoned to death, to be beaten to death, and to be jailed. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death, and even requested an official permission from the archpriest to round up Christians in Damascus. Now, however, Paul confesses that he wants to know about Christ. Knowing is done through learning, intuition and wisdom, but sometimes it is done through union. Mary was told what Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are not to give him the name Jesus." Luke chapter 1 verse 34 tells us how Mary responded. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin, since I don't know the man." Maria might have father, and the half of the people in the village she lived was probably man. And she got engaged with Joseph. Therefore, it is impossible not to know the meaning of man. Despite that, the reason that she talks this way is that she never had a relationship with man as a couple. Couples know more about each other than others. This knowing is the most intimate and respectful. Paul wishes to know Christ that way. He confesses about Christ in chapter 3, verse 8 of the Philippians. "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Paul confesses that the knowing of Christ is the most noble. In the past, what was noble for him were the circumcision he received in 8 days after his birth, being an authentic Jew of the Benjamin tribe, being educated in Hebrew style, although living in Gentile land, and speaking in Hebrew. In addition, he considers it noble to have faithful passion on his being a Pharisee and law. The nobleness, however, was nothing more than a lamp before the sun, and no better than a pool before the ocean, compared to the nobility of Christ. Then who was Jesus Christ for Paul? Why does Paul want to know more about him even when he'd live the last part of his life? When he was Saul, Paul met resurrected Jesus in his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. This event completely changed the life of Paul. The Christ whom he knew before was totally different from who came to meet Paul. He finally realized how incorrect, distorted, and prejudiced his knowledge on Christ was, although he thought he knew. After recovering from losing eyesight, Paul immediately started spreading God's words, as testified in chapter 9, verse 20 of the Acts. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. The expression, "the Son of God," in the Acts is here only. This is to express that as the son of a rabbit is a rabbit, and the Son of a man is a man, the Son of God is God. The event which took place in Damascus let Paul exactly know who God was. The chapter 9 of the Acts with the Damascus incident is also called the repentance of Paul. Repentance means to repent one's mind and change one's way of life. But it was not that Paul intended. But God changed his way of life. Paul does not forget the grace of God who did not ignore or abandon him despite all the hostility and evil acts, but came to him and showed him the way toward eternal life. The grace was so touching for him that he confesses he wants to know more about Christ, even when he had not much time in the world. The second thing which Paul wanted to know was the power of resurrection of God. This does not just mean the resurrection of our body we would experience after death, but means the power of God who works on our life, which drives Christians to live a new life. There was an exhibition of Sunday school on the first floor of the main worship hall for 3 weeks, from April 22nd to May 6th. The walls were decorated with pictures of the early Sunday school of Korea and our church by division. 교회 Through the exhibition, we introduced Sunday school divisions, infants, kindergarten, early elementary school, upper and elementary school, middle and high school division, and looked for those who would pray for Sunday school and its teachers. On one of those walls was the Tree of Resurrection, which I guess was made from Sunday school activities of elementary school division. The tree had its leaves made of a small salt-colored paper with the meaning of resurrection each child thought written. The meaning of resurrection which 4, 5, and 6th grade kids of elementary school thought. Among them, the most frequent definition of resurrection kids thought was an egg. I believe you fully understand why, although I don't explain. On the Tree of Resurrection were phrases as follows. The resurrection of Jesus is a fluorescent bulb because Jesus was put on again after being put off. The resurrection is a birthday because Jesus helped us to have a pure spirit, and thus we are pleased more than our birthday and need to celebrate. The resurrection is Yanghuajin, because in Yanghuajin, there are missionaries who rest in peace waiting for the resurrection. Among them, what impressed me the most was an ultimate weapon resurrection. At first, I burst into a laugh suddenly. The child who wrote that must have watched the movie The Ultimate Weapon Bow. I remember the movie as well. But out of blue, I felt weepy. The Ultimate Weapon Resurrection. The Ultimate Weapon Resurrection. I thought, yes, the strongest weapon of Christianity is resurrection. The more fearful subject to people is death. Death stops everything. No matter how much possession one might have, before God, it is no use. No matter how high one's position might be, upon death, someone else will replace the position. No matter how talented one might be, before God, before death, one cannot move even one's finger. However we love each other, our life ends with death. But we always have hopes, because death cannot completely dominate us. Therefore, in the Corinthians chapter 15, also called the chapter of resurrection, Paul cries out in verse 55 to 57 as follows. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing in our life waiting for us is not death, but God, who gives us the victory. Although there might be inconveniences, sighs, tears, disappointments, and despair in our lives, we still hold hopes because God, who gives us the victory, is with us. Paul wants to know the power of resurrection. Even though he's in jail now. The third thing Apostle Paul wanted to know was the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. If people who have lived their lives regardless of Christ come to know him, it would be an amazing experience. And the moment when we realize the power of His resurrection also cannot be forgotten. Many Christians want to stay and enjoy in that moment. What Paul wanted to know, however, was the fellowship of the sharing in His sufferings. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Apostle Paul confesses on the letter he wrote in jail as follows. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I feel love in my flesh, what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. What is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions does not mean that the affliction Christ had was insufficient. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." This affliction takes place where the church, his body, establishes itself as a true church. As Christ is the head of church, and church is the body of Christ, Christ and church are one. Therefore, the affliction for church is expressed as the lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Also in the Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul expresses his affliction as follows. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Branding is a stamp marked with a red-hot iron. Mostly, it is marked on wood or livestock. But slaves in the ancient time, to mark their owners or sinners for their sins, had branding on their body as well. During his mission trip, Paul was battered so many times, received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, 5 times, and beaten with rods, 3 times. He was even stoned once in Lystra, and people there abandoned him, thinking that he was dead. Aside from that, he went through the risk of river, the risk of the ocean, the risk of robbery, the risk of the same tribe, the risk of Gentiles, the risk of the wilderness, and many more. Although the signs of those afflictions remained on his body just as they were, Paul did not say they are wounds, but the signs of Jesus. Since Paul did not forget the grace of God who called him, although he had been once so hostile to God, He considered the scars on his body as the stained glass for Jesus made for him, not just scars. What Apostle Paul wanted to know were Christ, His power of resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in sufferings. This is the summary of life which Paul walked. On his way to Damascus, Paul met resurrected Jesus. Or rather, since Christ allowed the meeting with Paul, so he could open his eyes toward God. He experienced the power of resurrection numerous times during his first through third mission trips and went through a lot of afflictions and ended up being beheaded, sharing the affliction of God. This was the life of Paul. Do you know the way of Apostle Paul and ours are not different? There may be those of you who attend this worship service, but do not know who Christ is and just be here out of curiosity or to depend on something. Maybe there are those of you who are here today because your girlfriend or boyfriend asked you to come or for the peace of your family. I hope those of you can meet Christ respectfully or look back on your life pathway you have walked on. You would realize that the Lord already had been with you there. There also may be those of you who meet Christ respectfully and stay in His power of resurrection. Fully enjoy the power of God. God's power of resurrection divides the Red Sea, gives us the manna, heals the sick, raises the dead, and feeds 5,000 people, and still has 12 baskets left with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not only that, His power of resurrection changes Simon into Peter and Saul into Paul. This power of resurrection overtook us, and thus we could eventually open our eyes to the truth and the view where we thought this world and what we saw was all changed. Now we have hopes on what is eternal. And now the only thing we have to go is the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. As we know more about the grace of participating in the affliction of the Lord, our body also will have signs of Jesus. Would you keep walking this way? Among knowing Christ, knowing His power of resurrection, and knowing the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, which way are you staying now? When we walk that way constantly, we will meet Jesus, who are waiting for us with open arms and say, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Let us pray. Father God, although we have a lot we want to know, most of them are worldly and satisfy our desires rather than raising us upright or guiding us into the eternal way. And we also cannot help but admit that those are things that all make me outstanding in a worldly way. Thank you, God, for allowing us to realize what we should know through God's words. Although 30 years have passed since Paul knew Christ, he had a hope to know better about the Lord, whom he considered the most noble. Help us do like Paul. Work on those who do not respectfully know God to meet the Lord and give grace to recognize God who have been always with us. For those who know Christ, add God's power of resurrection so that the resurrection can become the ultimate weapon which wins whatever strong obstacles there might be. Father, what we wish and want the most is that we could keep walking on the way toward knowing the Lord, even though we would like to stay in the power of His resurrection, but hate the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, and going that way might be easy. Although it is hard to follow, fully know God due to our limits on this land, help our knowledge on the Lord deepen and broaden so that we all become the Paul of this time. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.